From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. In a community that boasts millions of acres of wilderness areas, parklands, and green space, it's a bit ironic that we sometimes lack for organized and maintained areas to recreate. But if all goes well in a partnership between the City of Eugene and the Eugene Parks Foundation and private business, Lane County residents may soon enjoy a brand new mountain bike park. With miles of trails, a centralized hub system, and easy access points, the park could become the envy of the state. Today on the show, you'll hear from the city and the foundation to learn about how it came about, where it will exist, and how they're blending city, state, and private money to make it become reality. It could become a biker's paradise, and it's next on Oregon on the Record. Lane County has some amazing trails, from Spencer Butte to Doris Ranch to the Alpine Trail to Mount Pisgah and many more. But most of these trails are best used on foot, and our region doesn't have as many opportunities for the legions of mountain bikers in our community. That could change as both the City of Eugene and the Eugene Parks Foundation are embarking on a new campaign called Finish the Ride. It's a master plan to create the Susan Arley Bike Park, a network of 11 trails and 3 hubs connecting back to a central trailhead. Today on the show, we talk to the city and the foundation about this vision and their progress. Dusty McCourt, board member with the Eugene Parks Foundation, and Philip Richardson, landscape architect and project manager with the City of Eugene Parks Department. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. Welcome to Oregon on the Record.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It is great to be here, Michael.
Yeah. Dusty, I'm going to start with you.
Sir.
And let's just kind of level set for folks in terms of what does the Eugene Parks Foundation do for the city?
Well, I would just say that we're kind of like the funding arm for creating spaces for parks for the people of the area and really the entirety of Lane County. I mean, it starts with actually building actual parks, and then there's of course lots of trail stuff that we do as well. We work on not just those pieces, but also trying to work to create more spaces to connect the dots, you know, for the Rivers to Ridges pathway. And that's actually the piece that people don't really see and appreciate, but is happening constantly in the background.
Great, great. Philip, maybe jumping off from that, talk about sort of, you know, what it takes, the process of developing and maintaining trails and paths in Eugene.
Yeah, well, I've been here working at the city for 25 years, and it takes a lot. We've come a long way. I think anybody who's been out on our trails over the last couple decades has certainly seen the improvements. You know, we have a crew that goes out every day and does all the various things that need to happen. And this project in particular has been a long time coming. And it's taken a lot of work, including like planning processes, and we're just super excited to be here and getting close.
Yeah, well, Dusty, let's take off from there. Tell us about this program. Tell us about the trails, and tell us about this specific campaign, the Finish the Ride.
So yes, as Philip said, this is a big feature that's been a long time coming. Honestly, I think of this as kind of a crown jewel park for the Eugene Parks system. It's gorgeous, it's massive, it's accessible. You know, to me, that's one of the big pieces is that people are going to be able to access this from their cars. Some people are going to be able to hike to it, and then, you know, there's going to be little kids that from the north side of town that are going to be able to access it through the bus system. The piece that we're building specifically is really targeted towards mountain biking. That's what this Finish the Ride thing is, and you know, it's going to be really amazing. It's going to be feature rich. It's going to be accessible for everybody, and it's going to have the means for everybody to be able to get out there and interact with nature and breathe that delicious air that we have.
Okay. Philip, put some context around it. Where is it located? Sort of where? What is the entire scope of the project, where it begins, where it ends, that sort of a thing?
You bet. So the Finish the Ride is really a piece of this bigger project, which is the whole Mountain Bike Park, which is set within Arley Park. And Suzanne Arley Park is actually our biggest single park. That's like 565 acres, I think, now. And it is south of LCC off of 30th, right kind of next to I-5. And it's connected into the existing ridgeline system at Mount Baldy. So anybody who's familiar with the ridgeline, there's a lot of people who have been out there. We don't really have any developed trails now. Of course, we're in the middle of building them.
Just tell us about the confines of the park. Again, where it starts, where it ends. Okay. What is the area specifically that needs to be finished?
Yeah. So Arley is this large park, the single largest park we have, connected into the ridgeline at Mount Baldy. It goes almost all the way over to I-5, not quite. And it is actually now connected to LCC, kind of on the southeast corner. And we're developing about, I would say, maybe a third of it, something like that, with trails. The master plan calls for more things. This is really just phase one of the master plan, but it's, we think, the most important phase, or at least the first phase that's been, the community's been desiring for a super long time. About 8 miles total of trail is what's designed, and that includes, approximately half of that's really mountain bike specific, and then the rest is shared use, including 2 miles of an extending of the ridgeline trail. It'll be a new parking lot, new trailhead, just lots of really fun stuff for people to do.
Yeah. Dusty, talk about, in terms of the foundation, but also even from the city's perspective, talk about how you looked at this and said, oh, this is a need, having this kind of mountain bike access. How did you sort of come to the determination that, this is something that Eugene really needs?
I would first and foremost say that this is just a known phenomenon in this town. Mm-hmm. It's been something that's been sorely wanting, and people have been pushing for this for 20, 30 years. And this is the first time where we've really been able to come together to create this space that's going to be designated specifically for mountain biking, and it's going to be built out in a delightful way that's really going to start to really feel that need that's mm-hmm. been there for many, many years.
Yeah. Is the thought, and I'll stay with you, Dusty, is the thought that, heck, maybe this could even be a situation where there could be like mountain bike competitions and things like that might eventually come to this facility?
Oh, I think in terms of those sorts of things, they're already in the works. Mm-hmm. There's people around town. Mike Ripley runs the race series throughout Oregon, and he's already kind of targeting this as like a potential spot for some of his big races. The Youth Mountain Biking Association is really excited about, being able to start to do their events there and all the people that they're going to bring in to see this beautiful space that we've created.
Okay, yeah. Great. Let me quickly reintroduce you both to the audience, talking with Dusty McCourt. He's a board member with the Eugene Parks Foundation, and Philip Richardson, who's with the city of Eugene, is a landscape architect and also a project manager on this. Philip, maybe talk a little bit about what's left to complete and what the resources that the city needs to complete the project are.
Yes. So we have had a contractor out on site since last year. It's kind of like a 2-year build. And so about, I'd say more than half of it's actually already built. It's not completed yet, and no one should go out there and try and ride it. It's still a construction zone. But we expect that most of the trails to be completed probably by June. And there's an additional piece here of we have to meet county regs. We have to widen the road. We have to build a parking lot. Trailhead, that's all coming. I think it's likely not to be open until probably September, September, October.
September of 2026.
Well, okay. I probably should say October or November just okay. to give us some room.
Sure.
But it takes a lot of expertise to design it as well as to build it. And we've had just some awesome consultants who have helped with that, and we have a really good contractor on site.
I want to pull that string a little bit more, because I imagine a lot of people think, oh, building a trail, you just get a shovel out and talk about what it takes to both design and build something like this.
Yes, it does. It's, I think a lot of people do think like, well, hey, how hard can it be just to build a trail? And that might be true in some areas, but if you think about where this sits, it's basically right on the edge of the city. There's whatever our population is now, it's, mm-hmm. you know, I couldn't tell you exactly, 200,000 or something like
sure.
that. But a lot of people who are going to be here, this is going to take a lot of use, and it really does have to meet all of the safety regulations and the environmental regulations. It just takes a lot of work and expertise to make it work sustainably.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important for us as an organization. And Dusty?
Yeah, Dusty, you wanted to add something.
You know, this is one thing where I feel like the city has done an incredible job. I should say Parks and Open Space has done an incredible job with selecting the people that have come in to do the designing and building. Because literally the people that we're getting for this project that have helped kind of design what we have laid out already to this point are people that have been on these projects that are on the world screen. You know, people that are building this are like they've created these places in Bentonville and in Whistler and locally, Whiskey Run, the Newport Trail Systems. And, you know, having my son out there as a 7-year-old and him being out there on a mountain bike, some of the trails that they created were the things that really made a big difference for him and created him and made him into actually a mountain biker.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just follow
up. Go ahead,
up
Phillip.
And just, yeah.
Yeah,
just shout out to Eddie Kessler of Ptarmigan Trails and Shane Wilson of Trail House. And we have Eric Emerson of Created Trail Design, who's and Zach. I forget Zach's last name, but he's doing
Zach
a lot
King.
Of, Zach King. Yes, okay. Zach King, thanks. Who's doing sort of the mountain bike specific stuff. These are all really talented people who are very thoughtful and just, you know, doing the work the way it needs to be done. And,
okay.
and it's not just out like hacking a trail through the wilderness.
Hmm.
It's a lot more detailed than that.
Yeah. Okay. Dusty, I'm going to go back to you in terms of the money left to raise. Talk about that to complete the project.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, I would say it's hard for the community to really understand what's happening to this, but I think the city of Eugene has given over $4 million, and we've got, you know, national and state grants that have helped to fill this, and literally they are doing everything they can to create this magnificent space, and inflation happens,
mm-hmm.
and time happens, and so we have come up with this gap for funding just to create these last four trails, and that's really what we're targeting, is the last four trails, these three trail hubs. Just once again, they're the fit and finish, the polish, and the other pieces that are just going to make this really the park that we all need for this
yeah,
area.
If I can jump
yeah, go
in,
ahead,
Dusty.
Phillip.
Yeah, just to clarify, it's about right now, I think last time I checked, about $4.5 million approximately.
Okay.
These are rough numbers. And the city has put in about $2 million of that. We have a $1.2 million grant from the federal government. It's an Economic Development Administration grant, which was very competitive. I think there's only two in Oregon, and we're one of them. And then we also applied for about almost $1 million, I think $991,000 from state parks, so which we got. I think we were one of the top five. So, you know, we really are leveraging dollars that we have through bond and through system development charges to make this happen. And we're just really fortunate to have Eugene Parks Foundation and people like Dusty out there helping us, because we weren't able to put everything into the existing contract. And that's why there's this kind of fundraising effort.
In terms of the use of the project once it's done, I imagine people listening thinking, oh, boy, you know, Is it going to be just for mountain bikes only? Is there a certain segregation between bikers and hikers and walkers? How is that going to work?
Thanks. That's a great question, Michael. And I think our thinking maybe on, like, on staff has changed a little bit around this issue. It does seem to be a little bit of a divide, right? I mean, there's the mountain bikers want mountain bike stuff. Hikers want hiking stuff. Not really wanting to share. And, you know, we're never going to have enough money to build separate systems for everybody. And honestly, we've had, you know, 14 miles about of hiking trail for a long time, and we've very slowly added very small bits of mountain biking trail. So this whole thing has really been designed in a way that I think will hopefully bring these two groups together and understand what each is doing. You know, honestly, all the people that I interact with on the Disciples of Dirt or the bikers that I see, I'm out in the Ridgeline almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good people and kind and considerate. You know, there's always some people who aren't, but that's true for hikers and runners as well.
Sure.
it's designed on this hub system, so you have the ability to gather and sort of watch what's going on. You don't really have to participate. There is an additional ridgeline trail connection. So this is like the rest of the ridgeline trail. It's about 4 feet wide. It's graveled. It's about 2 miles, and it's closely connected to these hubs. The hubs aren't right on the trail, but they're very close. And we'll be signing this. But again, the idea is that that it's designed to so people can understand like what's happening and appreciate what's going on.
Can you kind of define the hub system a little bit? Because I may be unfamiliar with that term. What does that look like? How does it interact with the trail?
Well, I think, you know, just conceptually, you could think a little bit about like ski areas, right? You take a ski lift up to the top, and then you're at this kind of hub, and there's a bunch of trails that go off from there. And it's similar. Of course, we don't have any lifts.
Sure.
You're going to have to go up there under your own power. But there'll be, you know, hubs of, I want to say, I don't know, 30, 40 feet, you know, in diameter of an area with multiple trails that go off from them. And there'll be, you know, different difficulties, green, blue, black. I mean, also kind of similar to ski areas. I don't know, Dusty may be more... have more to say about that, but that's kind of the idea of the system.
Okay. Dusty, if you want to add something to the hub system.
You know, what I would say is that they're designed to decrease conflict, but at the same time, pique people's curiosity because, you know, literally people are going to be walking by on the ridgeline trail and they're going to be kind of captivated with these spaces. They have amazing views. They have these little information kiosks that are going to be able to tell you a little bit more about, you know, what's going on here. And then invariably there's going to be people there, families, kids, that are going to be getting ready to be doing these trails, and conversations are going to occur. So empathy is going to be created. Once again, creating more understanding between user groups and decreasing conflicts.
Okay. Dusty, I'm going to stay with you. Just when it's done, when it's completed, you know, kind of paint a picture for us of what, you know, a first-time user is going to experience when it is open to the public.
So I think that you're going to be wowed by, you're tucking into this little spot in behind LCC. You drive up and there's this lovely parking lot with a bunch of trails coming out of it. And you can literally park there and you can get on your bike and start riding, or you can start hiking right from there. And then you're just going to go up into this hill space where the views just open up and the oak savanna is all around you. And you know, the wildlife is there, and you'll just get to see this spectacular view, all of which is just, you know, immediately adjacent to Eugene, and
that sounds great. Philip, could this be a model for other cities? This concept, and I'm talking specifically about the park itself, but also this idea of a city, but also a foundation coming together to make something like this happen.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I've heard Eddie and Shane both say we have something really unique here. Being close to the city, being kind of a large natural area with this kind of mixture of mountain bike and hikers and trail runners too. I think that, I can't say if other cities are going to necessarily follow our lead.
Sure.
But I think it is really unique. And you know, it's been a long time coming. I didn't really say much, but, you know, there was a lot of planning processes that happened. And we have a lot of land, but a lot of it is under conservation easements. And so this is a spot that doesn't have that. And we're able to, you know, build this thing that the community has really been waiting for decades.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to note that, you know, so far we have about $100,000 that we've been able to raise. And we have to say thank you. You know, Taco Vore, it was our first big donor. And, you know, you got to love those guys. I mean, are there many people in Eugene that don't love Taco Vore? And then also another great local business, Snow Temp. And you know, you would think that, well, Taco Vore is immediately going to benefit from the tourism that we could get from this. Snow Temp is just another one of those companies that, you know, a lot of people don't really know much about, but it's a family heritage-based business here in Eugene, and they're definitely investing in really what this park is going to become. And I think we're all going to benefit greatly from this. And, you know, just one more thing is that, you know, every dollar that we're able to raise between now and the end of March will be finished. We'll basically take that money, invest every dollar into what's being built, and that will be the park that you get to see by the end of this year. And that's truly remarkable. It just never happens that way.
Well, I think for outdoor recreationists around Lane County, very exciting news. Dusty McCourt, board member with the Eugene Parks Foundation, and Philip Richardson, a landscape architect and project manager with this project as part of the City of Eugene's Parks Department. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear from a reporter with the Bend Bulletin about the controversies over that city's diversity program, which has now seen two directors either leave voluntarily or be fired by the council. Then, on Wednesday, you'll hear from an Oregon Public Broadcasting documentarian who filmed Indigenous youth kayaking the Klamath River for the first time after the historical dam removal. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.